Welcome to the SRA Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. This episode is the first in a series of skill-focused talks. Today, we will be talking grip with owner of Shoot and Defensive Group, Matthew Tyser. Why don't you tell me about yourself, Matthew?
Hey, my name is Matthew Tyser. I am the owner and the lead instructor from Shoot and Defensive Group. We do firearms training and safety for a lot of marginalized communities in the Pacific Northwest. I also shoot competition. I shoot USPSA, practical pistol, multi-gun, and I'll be shooting at High Desert Brutality this year as well.
Awesome. Have you classed in USPSA?
Yeah, MB.
So, as I stated earlier, I brought you here to talk about grip. Why don't you tell me why grip is so important? Let's start there.
So pistol grip is really important just due to the fact that, all right, I should preface this. Pistol grip is important for having your gun behave predictably and to have your gun act consistently. However, your ability to actually press back on the trigger without your gun moving is significantly more important. In some of my classes, I demonstrate this by having like the world's shittiest grip, like gripping several inches low behind or below the beaver tail, teacupping it, and still being able to rip like 0.3, 0.25 splits with my holes being like, you know, an inch or two apart. So, yes, your grip is important in a sense of you want to grip it consistently, therefore the gun will behave predictably every single time you shoot it, which means that you can start shooting more predictably or predictably off of actually going fast. And the trigger press, though, your ability to manipulate that trigger, isolation of just your trigger finger, is significantly more important than the actual grip itself, though.
So how do people isolate that trigger finger and not induce sympathetic movement with the rest of their hand?
So for a lot of people, especially when they first start out on range, like I worked at a shooting range for a while, a lot of the instructors would teach like really antiquated stuff and it just basically revolve and deteriorate into bullseye shooting. So just a slow, consistent pressure on the trigger until the gun happens to go off, right? I'm sure you've heard of like that like adage of like the gun should surprise you when it goes off is kind of that mentality and that like amount of pressure where it's just like, oh, the gun just went off. I do teach that for like brand new shooters, but my goal is to get people off of that as soon as humanly possible. So what that means is experimentation with the amount of aggression that you press on the trigger. A lot of people think like fast and slow, which isn't necessarily a big quantifiable thing that you can do, versus like you want to narrow that down to the most specific thing possible. So it's like I want to be able to slap back on my trigger or bring my sights down faster, rather than when they think fast and slow, it's typically like a cadence or a tempo. So experimentation with the actual trigger press. So like, again, that old adage of like slow, constant pressure on there. Think of it like the gas pedal on your car, right? You're going like 5 miles per hour, and then there's 10 miles per hour, there's 20. Eventually you get to that point where it's like the gun just went off. That's when you reach like the speed limit, right? I like to have, especially like newer shooters, experiment with that. So instead of like, hey, if you're able to group and all your holes are together, start more aggressively pressing back on the trigger. It doesn't necessarily mean doing it all in one. It means that you're going and pressing back on that trigger at like, rather than a 5 mile per hour speed, 10 miles, gun goes off in half the time, right? Or 20 miles. And then from there, you start ramping that up to working at trigger control at speed.
Awesome. So if that's good trigger finger actuation, what does good grip look like?
A good pistol grip is basically something that you are able to consistently apply pressure to. For me, and this is going to differ for every single person, right? Like Hunter Constantine shoots differently than Ben Steger, who shoots different than like Hwansae Kim. All of them are very different in terms of how they view grip. And it kind of is just like what works for you and what works on the gun that you're currently shooting, right? For me, it is my right hand, my dominant hand is applying front and back pressure. So I'm focusing isolation of the front of the grip and the back of the grip, and that's the only place that my right hand really applies pressure. And then from there, my support hand is just crushing into the side. I recently switched out all of my grips on my like Shadow 2s and my DWX that I shoot for competition to ones that basically look like a medieval fucking torture device. It's got a big like spikes on the side of it that literally bite into my hands. And so I like those because there's so much grip to them and they're literally biting into my hands where like the gun isn't moving as much. It's very difficult for that gun to shift around in my hands. And that's kind of the big thing with shooting is that it's physics. Everything we're doing is based in physics. That gun, when it goes off, there's a reciprocating mass along the top. It should only rise up in recoil, and it might go up and to the left or up and to the right, depending on like how you're applying pressure to that grip. But what's like more important than like, hey, my gun went up in recoil is your ability to like force that gun to reappear back at that same spot that you're looking at on the target.
So given that what good grip looks like is so subjective, what would you say the goal of good grip is? What does having good grip get a shooter?
If they're actually like not straining or stressing out or have a lot of tension in their dominant hand, what that allows you to do is more aggressively press back on the trigger and doing it without that sympathetic movement. I'm sure like if anybody has watched kind of like YouTube videos of the like roided out fucking vet bros that are just like, you got to get over the top of this and you got to grip it really hard. And that's going to keep your gun running nice and flat. For me personally, I don't care how flat my gun runs. What I care about is the consistency of I can get this back onto the same point. Like literally I'm talking about like 1 inch by 1 inch or even smaller than that spots on the target nice and aggressively. So having a consistent grip allows you to have the gun behave again consistently and predictably, but you're ultimately looking for like that isolation of just your trigger finger versus anything else. And grip can help that. Like grip is in service of that, to make that clear, where it's just like, if I'm gripping really hard with my right hand, and I do this in my classes too, which is like make a tiger claw with your hand and get a lot of tension in there. Now try to articulate, you know, just your index finger very fast and aggressively. And everybody's just like, oh shit. Yeah. Like my hand, there's a lot of sympathetic movement there. And then it's like, okay, now try it without as much tension in your dominant hand. And then it's like, oh yeah, hey, I can start doing this without my hands wanting to crush into it.
Yeah. It's quite interesting that in shooting sports, it's very much the opposite of some others. Like take powerlifting, for example. Some of my powerlifting friends have really described how you do want that sympathetic explosion in your muscles to help you hit that PR or whatever. But in shooting sports, it's not really helpful.
Yeah. I find, though, that a lot of people who do like climbing, just due to the fact that they're very aware of like how their hands apply pressure, even though they're like gripping the gun hard, don't necessarily have as hard of a time like on the actual trigger press portion, which is again how you actually get that accuracy. Just due to the fact that they have such awareness of like what their hands are doing. I'm a lazy shooter, and I should preface this whole conversation about that like with this. I want to do the least amount of fucking work possible, right? Like I don't want to squat down and like lean forward like I'm a cop in the 80s or anything like that. For me, when I shoot, I don't have a whole lot of tension in my body, but I'm starting to get to that point where it's like I'm trying to reintroduce very specific amounts of tension. Just because like if you're really relaxed, right, your transitions, anything that requires that kind of like snap movement, tends to suffer because of that, because you kind of like meander from like target to target versus like very quickly and aggressively like driving your gun to a new spot on a new target. Same with like movement and stuff where it's like loading up, you know, your thighs so that you're in a position where you're ready to move. That's something that I've been like very consciously working on to reintroduce that tension rather than just like be completely relaxed, because you know, especially when you're like moving and shooting multiple targets, stuff like that, you do want to have a little bit of that tension so that you can do those really quick snap reactions and motions.
So then what are some cues to look out for that indicate a bad grip?
Usually it's like for sympathetic movement. You'll see, you know, right-handed shooters shoot low and to the left. I'm sure there's, you know, plenty of people who listen to this who's less like, ah, oh, fuck, that's me. Or left-handed shooters shooting low and to the right. With that, visual focus is very important, which is just like, I focus on a spot on the target. I make my gun reappear there. Shooting's, very visual-like activity. But you'll also notice like seatbelt patterns, which is just like your shots start trailing up and to the side. For me, like if I get really lazy with my grip, especially with like tension in my wrists, and I don't consciously like engage my wrist, my shots will start like trailing up and to the right, because like I'm crushing into the gun with my left hand, but my right hand's being like super lazy at that point. And so the gun's, again, path of least resistance, it's not going to go up and to the left because my left hand's there to stop it, but it'll break me just at specifically like my right wrist, and it'll start climbing up there like that way. Like I said, like a seatbelt where it's coming up. If you're shooting like a USPSA silhouette, up and to the right, like towards that shoulder. So there's like very specific ways, not necessarily like shooter diagnostic targets, but for the most part, it's just like, hey, you moved the fucking gun before it went off, right? That's why your holes aren't appearing where you're actually like aiming at. And usually that's from like an excess of tension, especially in the dominant hand. I like to use the baby brain analogy, where it's just like, if you've ever been around an infant or a toddler, like the way they grab things is like they wrap their whole hand around it. And this is how we've been holding things our entire life. They wrap their whole hand around it and they literally like crush into it with their fingertips. And, you know, for something as small as like a little baby's hand, like it is freakishly strong, right? It's very hard to like separate whatever they're holding from that. And that's kind of what happens when we shoot, because like our brains don't like reacting to scary stimulus, right? Fight or flight kicks in. One of the big things is like, we got a fucking literal explosion in our hands that's happening 2 feet away from our face. It makes a big noise. And we inherently know that this is dangerous. So our brain instantly kicks back to that like baby brain idea of like just gripping into it and like really wanting to squeeze it. I got big hands. Like I always say that I got like ogre hands. Where I actually apply pressure, like I have calluses on my dominant hand, but it's like more towards my knuckles, because that's what actually makes like the Z knuckles right by your fingernails, the cuticles. That's where I actually apply pressure with it. It's just like I kind of clamp back with my dominant hand rather than like squeeze into it with my fingertips. So to answer that question specifically, it's like, hey, you caused something to move the gun. More often than not, it's going to be grip related, which is like you're gripping the gun really hard with your dominant hand. And again, like right-handed shooters, low left, left-handed shooters, low right.
Oh, sounds like you're not a fan of teaching finger placement on the trigger.
Not at all. Yeah, during this entire conversation so far, like I haven't even brought that up once. It doesn't matter. As long as you're like able to comfortably press back on that trigger straight back without the gun moving, and it doesn't feel like you're like reaching or grasping for the trigger, that's the important part. Again, like I've demoed in classes, like, and I'll put holes in the same spot with like my finger all the way through it to like my second knuckle to like just my finger barely touching it, like on the edge. It really doesn't matter where that finger like ends up being on it. I have friends that, you know, shoot double action for their first trigger press that use like their actual knuckle. And it's like, cool, if that works for you, then that works for you. Like, there is no right or wrong answer for it. Just like your support hand, like the location of it. A lot of people want to get like really high and aggroed and like that aggressive thumbs forward vet bro type to try to like control the gun with like applying torque with their thumbs versus like just apply pressure on the side of the grip to keep it from moving. Like if it's lower, then it's lower. Like, cool, who cares? As long as you have a lot of contact with it and that pressure there is causing the gun not to like shift in your hands, right? I think a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to think about that versus just like experiment, right? If you can rip splits with, you know, whatever gun you're shooting, like change your grip a little bit, see if it works better, see if it doesn't. Is it easier to engage your wrist? Is it more difficult to? Do you notice like hand tension? Like I still want to actually grip the gun with my dominant hand, but I don't want to like just let it wiggle around, right? Like, I want to actually apply pressure to it where it's just like firm handshake, where it's not going to slide around.
So, Fuddlore confirmed, myth busted.
Yeah, 100%. It's like the shooting diagnostic targets where it's just like,
I was going to ask about that one too.
yeah. Where it's just like, oh, hey, if it's down and to the left, and this is the reason why I fucking hate the Mantis, because it gives people the wrong things to focus on, which is like, yeah, it's down to the left. It's you're anticipating the shot, or like your fingertips not at the right part of the trigger. Far less likely than that, or far more likely than that, it's going to be like you're applying pressure or torque to the grip in such a way that, you know, you have sympathetic movement in your dominant hand, or even your support hand. Like if you are using your thumbs and you're like crushing into the side of the gun with your support hand and you're using your thumbs to apply that torque on the side, it's not as common, but I've definitely seen people, you know, push shots over to the right because of it, where it's like they press back on the trigger with their right hand, their thumb moves into it a little bit, and then their like right thumb presses into the left thumb, which causes the muzzle to divert, right? And so just being very aware. Caden, who I go to for classes, he's a GM USPSA shooter. He's a homie of mine. I remember a while back, he told me, like, you need to put your brain in your hands. And at that time, I was just like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, this sounds like some woo-woo shit. But really, he was specifically talking about just like you are so conscious and aware of like how your hands are applying pressure, how they feel on there, that it needs to be really consistent that every time you do it. And like the more consistent you are with that, the more consistent, you know, your results will be. So
I'm familiar with the Mantis's marketing, kind of it. I know it's a laser with an app. How does it work? And what does it, how does it give you the wrong feedback?
Yeah, so I have an entire, like, not the story thing, but the archive, whatever, on Instagram about, like, why the Mantis sucks and why I don't agree with it. Like, I went through and I deliberately was just like, okay, I'm going to grip around this entire gun and put pressure on the trigger, you know, with my second knuckle and see what it says. But the diagnosis specifically on it, all it is an accelerometer that's on there. All it is telling you, like, did your gun shift? Which is fine, which is like, it's cool. But you are far better, like, taking a lesson for that same amount of money. Like, it's $180 for a fucking Mantis, actually going to, you know, a competitive shooter who teaches classes in your area, than trying to gamify your dry fire. Your dry fire anyways should be engaging. It should be kind of fun. And ultimately, especially if you shoot red dots, like, it becomes very easy to analyze like what's going on. And you know, it's 2025. We have the technology, please use it for red dots. But yeah, like for their diagnostics, they'll be like too much trigger finger thumbing. Not enough trigger finger. It's just really bad in terms of, like, again, all it is a glorified shot diagnostic target that ends up being, you know, $180 that doesn't actually tell you what's actually going on with that.
So it really sounds like the problem with it is that the app misdiagnoses or just generally gives spurious advice.
Yeah. The app will actually go through and be like, okay, well, this is like how your gun moved around. And then it'll specifically be like, okay, this is the potential causes of that. But it's hardly ever, from my experience teaching numerous people, correct. Like, the scores are cool, like, fine, whatever, if you want to gamify your dry fire. But as a whole, like, again, for $150, you're better off just like throwing a red dot on your gun and learning how to read that, or going and taking a class from somebody who's actually like a competitive shooter.
Yeah, we're both for just a bit more.
Yeah, or both, preferably both.
And so for those who can't afford a red dot, though, how would you rate a $20 laser snap cap from wherever?
Spend that money on like $2 of ammo. Your, like I said, your dry fire should be like fun and kind of engaging. It should be challenging. It shouldn't just be like kind of mindless, like I'm pressing back on the trigger. But you can read your front sight post and your gun, just like you would with a red dot. Like, did my iron sights actually move from there? Did my front sight post divert from there? I'm actually going to be switching over to shooting irons in the fall because I just recently switched divisions. Like, I've been shooting USPSA actually as a member for about, like, I'll say less than a year. Before that, I was doing like other kinds of competitions in the area. So I got B rank in or B class in carry optics. My last two classifiers were like high B, low A. And then once I got that, I was basically like, cool, I'm going to just swap because I want to shoot like different fun guns, right? So I went from shooting a Shadow 2 to a DWX, which is basically a 2011 on a CZ frame. My goal is basically I'm just going to get B rank in that too, which I'm on track for that very easily. From there, just shoot production for a little bit because like variety is kind of the spice of life. And if I just kept shooting the same gun, like, yes, they're equivalent and they're very close to one another. I just want to try new things. But to go back to your question, like those snap caps, those little laser cartridges are not worth anything. Like it's not really worth it, especially like the break on your trigger doesn't really matter. Like as you're learning, yes, it's kind of important. Just like the reset, like cool, there's a reset to the trigger. Just make sure your finger goes off the trigger enough to actually do that. You don't need to like write it forward after the gun goes off or anything like that. That's just going to actively hamper you in terms of your skill development. But like for a Glock, you can just get a little piece of cardboard, put it into like your ejection port to like not cause your slide to fully close. And then, you know, that solves the Glock dead trigger issue. Just mash back on it without your sights deviating from it. And that's like, it'll save you $20. Just dry fire, then go to the range and make sure that like, hey, what I'm dry firing actually working.
All right. Well, tell me about how you build your grip from the draw.
Terribly. So building your grip from the draw, basically, I just want to get my hands in consistent positions. So for me, especially if I'm shooting outside waistband, I'll always drop down my right wrist to a specific part where it's like touching the gun. And so that allows it. So my hand is positioned consistently and again, predictably in like the same location where like my hand just has to do the same motions every single time. From there, my support hand is, you know, kind of hanging out in front of my body, more towards the center versus like off to the left side, because I'm trying to get my support hand onto that gun as soon as humanly possible. And so ultimately with the draw, like, you know how the military, they do that whole like 1, 2, 3, 4 step thing where it's just like 1, your right hand touches the gun, 2, you come up to your chest, 3, you push out, 4 is like you press back on the trigger. That is just slow, right? Like you're making something significantly more like convoluted and complicated versus like I get my hand on the gun and then I just bring it up in front of my face as fast as humanly possible. And I'm not a dude with like a super fast draw. It's not something that I necessarily dry fire as much as I should. And it's something that I need to continuously work on. But like on average, like when I'm just dry firing and messing around, or like at the range, and like consistently like 1.2 seconds, right? Like not the world's fastest or anything like that, but still like plenty fast to do what I need to do. Sometimes you come up with a shitty grip from the draw and I'm not going to spend, you know, mental energy or effort to be like, okay, and time to like, that was a bad grip on the gun. And then like readjust my grip and then shoot. Like you just need to make it work sometimes, which is just like, hey, I just need to be extra considerate and like cautious of like how I'm pressing back on the trigger. Like it needs to be without my gun moving. And I need to make like a little bit more mental energy actually making sure that's happening versus like spending, you know, 2 seconds like regripping my gun. Like when I have movement after that or anything like that, where it's like that dead time when I'm not actually shooting stuff, like I can regrip my gun then. But out of the draw, it's important, you know, consistency in terms of like where your hands are placed. If you're able to, you know, consistently move your hand over it, some people do the scoop draw. I kind of do the snatch. I'm kind of like halfway in between both. Like, I don't really like push down on the gun anymore, but scoop draws are a little bit faster. It all is based off of kind of like what works for you. Again, there's like two ways about it, and it's honestly whatever works best.
So it doesn't sound like you're too bullish on getting your master grip on your gun while your gun is still in your holster.
So the consistency of like how your hand is kind of staged by the gun will help you get a good master grip. I'm a big fan of like having people shoot with one hand, because that'll teach them like how you actually need to apply pressure with your dominant hand to like keep your gun there, or to like have it behave consistently. And then from there, it's like your left hand comes in and applies pressure, and now you do even less work. Usually when I talk to people about draw, I basically just break it down into two parts. And so like you should be dry firing it, and like, hey, on the beep, I just get my hand on the gun and I start leaving the holster. It doesn't have to be all the way out of the holster, but it's just like, I have a good grip on this. It is how I would normally grip the gun, and it's out of the holster, or it's like starting to come out. From there, the second part is like, okay, my goal is to get my support hand to make contact with the side of the gun and to bring this up consistently in front of my face up to my eye level where my red dot is there. And so it's just like those two parts, good grip on the gun, which allows you to be more consistent with like how you're presenting, and then support hand on the gun as soon as possible with the gun coming up in front of your face is kind of like the two parts. So yeah, I do think master grip is still important, which is like your dominant hand should be consistent with how you actually are applying pressure on there. Which means that, you know, you practice like on the beep, I actually grab my gun where it's supposed to be.
So new shooters have a tendency to re-grip between shots a lot. How long should pretty novice shooters expect to have their grip last?
As long as humanly possible. As long as you possibly can. Like re-gripping the gun because like, hey, it slid around in there, maybe it didn't apply enough support hand pressure or whatever happened, that's fine. But if you're one of those people who like re-grips every single time you shoot, know that you're fucking up. When you're shooting and it's just like, bang, okay, I shuffle my hands around a little bit, bang, I shuffle my hands around a little bit, you really aren't getting a consistent grip on that gun, because every time you're about to press back on that trigger, you change your grip. And so as you're presenting it in front of your face, and as you're like shooting longer strings of fire, which this is why I usually do like 10 rounds at a time, it gives people to kind of like decompress after, like figure out what's going on. But more importantly than that, it's just like, hey, all 10 shots of these, like just grip the gun exactly the same way, right? Try to have your grip last throughout the entirety of this for recoil. Stop regripping your guns every single time you shoot. You're changing something. And usually what it is like you release pressure with your left hand and your right hand starts creeping over to the side of the gun where it's just like, again, baby brain takes over. And it's just like, I start gripping this harder. You'll typically find that a lot of people with their dominant hand, because they release pressure with their left hand, they don't reapply that with the same amount of force that they were before. And then they start gripping harder with their right hand because their support hand's really not doing anything. This is especially true for people who, like drop down their thumb and they really wrap their hand around the side of the gun. So like, imagine again, like the baby hand, like gripping all the way around it. Again, like where I apply pressure on the grip is with my knuckles along the front of the gun on the front of the strap. My fingertips don't actually apply any pressure or tension. A lot of people, when they first buy their guns, and this is a big reason why I'm not a big fan of like telling brand new people unless they're taking a class, like think about hand feel, because they'll get like a small, tiny like P365 or a G43. And it's just like my hand wraps around this with my dominant hand. This is a good grip. Whenever I do like new shooter stuff too, I'll often ask like, hey, and I'll grip a gun like that, like a plastic one, and be like, is this a good grip? And everybody's like, yeah, right. Like you got good coverage. Your hand's making contact all the way around. And then I'll actually like grip the gun like I usually do when I shoot. And I'm like, is this a good grip? And they're like, no, like your thumb needs to be a part of that. And like, you need more contact along the side. But if your fingertips are like creeping over to the side of the grip and your support hand's like making contact and it's just on top of those fingertips, your left hand's really not doing anything. Your support hand's only there, like, basically giving your other hand a hug versus, like, actively making contact with the grip keeps it from sliding around and from, like, again, that friction of where your support hand actually makes contact with the gun, you know, is very important. So, yeah.
So your advice to new shooters is to try and get that master grip right out the gates, but just kind of accept that it might fall apart and that they'll have to probably re-grip in the middle of their run.
To go back to, like, okay, re-gripping the gun, yes, it's fine. Your grip will eventually fall apart. You want to be able to hold the grip, like, both hands together as much as you can humanly possible. Like, if you're not as strong or if you don't have as much, like, hand strength as some, it might be, like, less shots, right? You just want it to last through as much recoil as you possibly can. Re-gripping the gun will cause you to, again, have issues with consistency, which is, like, every time for a lot of, like, newer shooters, after one round, they'll re-grip the gun and, like, something changes. They'll do it again and something changes again. So you just want to be as consistent as much as possible, which means the less re-gripping, in my opinion, is the better, until it's just like that you know how your hands are supposed to feel and connect to that gun. And then it's just like, cool, yeah, I re-grip the gun and it's back to what it should be.
So what are some good drills to work on your grip?
To work on your grip, as a baseline proficiency, I think 10-10-10 is actually very good. And then not doing it as, like, if you don't know what this is, it's 10 yards, 10 shots in 10 seconds. Your goal for that should not be like, I shot that clean in 9.99 seconds with everything's a 10. It should be to get as many points as possible as you can on that piece of paper and go as fast as fucking possible. Another good drill is Tim Heron's BAD, which is the balanced assessment drill, which is at like 15, 20, 25 yards. Like, you're just from draw 5 seconds to shoot it as much as you can, USPSA scoring. And then, like, as you do further reps of that, so it's like you do it three times. The first time is everything's counted USPSA scoring. Second time is everything counts except for Ds are now -5 points. So if you pull a delta, you get -5. So one of your good hits on alpha goes away. Then your last time doing it, Charlie's and deltas are both -5 points. So you're trying to, like, shoot it as cleanly as possible, which means you have 5 seconds. I'm trying to rip as many shots as I can on this to get the highest score that I can while still shooting it, like, accurately, right? Or practically for the accuracy. Like, I'm not trying to get every single holes in the same spot. But because of those, like, time limits and time constraints on these things, it really pushes people to, like, I need to shoot this fast and not have to, like, switch up my grip in the middle of it, right? Whether it's, like, the 10-10-10 or, like, the balanced assessment drill. Your goal is, like, I'm ripping shots on this target quickly and I am, like, not re-gripping the gun. My grip's not changing or shuffling around, which allows, again, that gun to start behaving more predictably. And it's like, okay, now I can shoot fast.
Yeah, that's sounds like two great drills. So what's slide bite and how do people get that?
So slide bite for Glocks. I actually just fixed a homie's grip. who had, like, it wasn't like bite. It was mostly just the rub from Glock. They would apply pressure on the backstrap, but they would, like, release the upper part of their thumb and it end up more over the backstrap than it would on, like, the actual like, wrapped around. So their knuckle would come up right next to where the slide was reciprocating and it would rub there. Slide bite for other people, which when I worked at a shooting range would be, like, people would grip with their support hand and they put their left thumb, if they're right-handed, behind the fucking slide and it would cut them open. I tried to correct that as much as I possibly could whenever I ran across somebody doing it, because I don't want to clean up somebody's blood. And, yeah, that's typically one of the two ways that that happens. Obviously gripping the gun extremely incorrectly, left thumb goes over and behind the slide. And then with Glocks, for a lot of people, they won't, like, push their thumb forward to the side of the grip. I kind of wish I had, like, a way to show people what I mean for that. But a lot of people have, like, a part of their thumb kind of, like, hanging up above the beaver tail on a Glock. and it'll cause that rub or that's like slight bite on the side.
Would you recommend to Glock owners a more thumbs forward grip than a thumbs up grip?
More wrap it around to the side of the gun. So like I shoot thumbs up anyways, but specifically for that, it's and that's harder for people with smaller hands on a Glock, right? Because it's shaped just like a 2x4. Right. Usually again, it's because like they will release pressure on the back of the grip when their support hand comes in, which causes their thumb to move further up and to the rear of the slide. Especially towards that like knuckle that's closest to the palm.
So you mentioned a lot of different grips or approaches to grip. Does the type of gun you show up with change how you build that grip, like say a revolver versus a striker fire?
Yes. If you grip with your thumbs forward or do that like aggressive thumbs forward stuff with revolvers, you will singe your fingers and it will not be pleasant. I don't really shoot revolver, so I'm not like, hey, this is how exactly you need to grip it. But I still think a lot of that support hand pressure along the side of the gun is still very important to like, you know, keep it nice and consistent. But just due to the way, you know, the grips and stuff are shaped, you know, there might be some more nuances there. But again, I'm not a revolver shooter. So
shame. You strike me as a cowboy action kind of person.
Right. I shoot speed steel, though. I just think it's stupid and fun.
Yeah, wearing a big hat and chaps. So how can people take a shooting class?
During the summer, I actually go on a hiatus. I am shooting a lot of competitions over the summer. Like I said, I got sectionals for USPSA. I have High Desert Brutality. And for High Desert, I'm taking, you know, I'm shooting some multi-gun matches, which I haven't done in years. Through our website, shootingdefensivegroup.com. Yeah, but during the summer, there's not going to be really anything posted. Maybe a couple non-shooting classes like Utah Concealed Carry and stuff like that. One-on-ones are always a thing. The cool part is, too, is like, you know how I mentioned, like, hey, it's 2025. We have the technology. Get a red dot for your gun. For people who take any of my classes, if they have, like, an iron sights gun and they're like, okay, I see the value and like the worth of this, and they put that time and effort forward to get a red dot for their gun, that financial of like, or obligation of like, I want to get better at this. I want to have something that, you know, I'm going to continuously practice with. Like I invest my time in them by like giving them 50% off like private lessons. Like that's how much of a believer I am in terms of like red dots are good. You should probably have one. Like I'll put my money where my mouth is in regards to that and help people, especially those who are like willing to put in, work behind like actually practicing that stuff. So, but yeah, website, Shooting Defensive Group, or, hit me up on Instagram. Either one's fine.
All right, Matthew, thanks for your time. Do you got any parting words for us?
Yeah. So I would say like the biggest thing is like, yeah, your grip matters. What's more important is your ability to like press back on the trigger without the gun moving. Everybody learns at a different pace, but the most important thing that like any new shooter can do is to go at a fucking pace, please, for the love of God, that your brain recognizes what your hands are doing. As people shoot, as they get tired, as like they get comfortable, they just kind of turn off their brain and they kind of go into autopilot. And like during classes, I'm not trying to be a dick or like be rude to somebody when I'm like, hey, you're doing this. I specifically do that so that their brain recognizes that that is happening, because a lot of the things that happen when we shoot tend to be unconscious decisions. A lot of people who are like regripping the gun every time a round goes off don't necessarily realize that they're doing it. So the only way that you can fix that and to make that correction is by actually going and like making it conscious that, oh yeah, I am. So I need to consciously think about like gripping this consistently and not having the gun, you know, shift around as much or like shift my hands off of it or regrip the gun. So going at a pace where it's like my brain actually recognizes what's going on. And then from there, staying again, brain in your hands, mentally aware of like what your hands are doing as you're learning. The speed stuff, you can pick that up really quick. That'll come as long as like you're, again, you have a good like conscious effort and like your brain is in your hands thinking about this stuff as you're doing it, the speed stuff comes easy, right? And then again, for the speed, again, it's relative. Trigger control at speed, though, is one of the best things you can do, which is like on the beat, mash back on the trigger. Do it without the gun moving. Great. Now do that plus one shot returns. Now do that and do one shot returns. Then on, you know, when your dot comes back, press the trigger the second time. That's how you start shooting fast and accurate, right? Then the speed actually doesn't come from like counting like 1-2, like, okay, yeah, that was a half second split. It comes from your brain actually picking up what's happening with the dot. Like my dot comes back to the window. Therefore, it's just like, cool, good. Press back on the trigger again, just like I do at trigger control speed. Instead of that auditory cue or command to press on the trigger, it now becomes a visual one, right? So your brain starts picking up on those cues faster as you do this stuff. Shooting fast and shooting fast and accurate, like there's a big difference between the two, right? Where it's just like, I can mash back on the trigger all I want. And then it, at the end of the day, if you aren't actually hitting your target, right? Like it doesn't matter how fast you press back on the trigger. Having your brain start picking up, like my dot comes back to that same exact spot in like 0.35 seconds. That is awesome. Like that's great. That's where my brain starts like feeling like this is kind of glacial, where it's like my brain can track the dot, come back to that same exact spot, become a solid dot again and press back on it. And so the actual like speed comes from those different confirmation levels, right? So it's like confirmation 4 is like you are literally bagged up and you're just doing that slow, you know, continuous trigger pressure, gun goes off. Confirmation 3 is my dot is there and I press back on the trigger. Confirmation 2 is like instead of my dot actually fully resetting and becoming a dot there, I just see a red streak or a red flash from my dot over the top of the target. Cool. That's when I press back on the trigger. And then confirmation 1s are like completely predictive. Like press back on the trigger twice with one sight picture, your hole should go. If your grip's consistent, you know, where you're looking at, or at least very close to it. Yeah. A lot of people, I think, need to get fast and slow out of their head. Train your brain to start processing information at a higher level. And that's a very, very hard one to do because, like, that actually requires you to go out and to shoot and to continuously practice this stuff.